Good morning. Well, that was pretty good. I'm Vicki Logan, and I'll be serving as your liturgist for early service this morning. It's great to see you all here, and I want to extend a very special welcome to any of visitors that we might have with us today. We're glad you're here. We would ask that our members and visitors alike sign the friendship pads, which are located on the inside end of the pews, so that we'll have an accurate count of attendance this morning. We do have a few announcements. First of all, I want to thank everyone who has been contributing to our van fund. We're up to almost $38,000, which is great. Our board for donations is still located outside the sanctuary, denominations 1 through 100, and so we hope that you will continue to fund our van effort as you are led and as you are able. And starting in August, which will be next Sunday, you will notice that there are containers around the church in various locations as we start our Change for Change effort. And as you drop your spare change and dollars into those containers, that will go to fund various ministries around our community. So you'll want to be a part of that. Also, I know it's early, but October 23rd, Hog on the Hill is coming again, so be sure to mark your calendars for that. And I'm going to put on my teacher hat this morning and give you an assignment for the week. I'm going to ask that you look around and take note, either in this service or in your Sunday school class, of someone who is not here. Please let them know that they are missed, and they are. Asbury, as you know, is open all summer, and there are lots of good things going on in God's house. So please make that call this week, and let's get our faith family members back in church with us. I ask now that you stand and greet one another as we pass the peace of Christ. Would you stand now for our call to worship? Praise the Lord. Praise, O servants of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. From the rising of the sun to its setting, the name of the Lord is to be praised. Join us now in our hymn of praise, which is To God Be the Glory. It's number 98 in your hymnal, and remain standing for our affirmation of faith.
To God be the glory.
affirmation of faith this morning is the Nicene Creed, which is printed in your bulletin. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became truly human. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshiped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look to the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Good morning. How are y'all this morning? Good. I have a question for y'all. Do y'all do chores at home? No. What chores do you do at home?
I clean my room. I unload the dishwasher. I never do chores just because I never play in my room.
I unload the dishwasher.
I mostly just clean up the whole house.
I dump the little trash cans to the big trash cans for my mom.
Good. Very good. Well, I want to tell you a story about a girl by the name of Janie. Oh, do you do something?
I do dough utensils.
Very good. All right, so this morning I'm going to tell you a story about a girl named Janie. Now, Janie's responsibility at home was to dust and sweep the back porch because everybody would come through the back porch. So her mom said, okay, this is your job for the day, and her mom went inside. So Janie started sweeping, and she went, you know what? She made a little pile. She went, that carpet looks really good. And she took the carpet and she lifted up the end of the carpet and she swept that whole pile of dirt under the carpet. And then she put the carpet back. And she went, okay, I'm done. It looks great. And she went off and she went to go play. And her mom comes out to look at her work. And she goes, I see a little lump in the carpet. What do you think her mom did? She lifted up the carpet, and there was the dirt. And her mom calls Janie, and she says, okay, Janie, that means that you don't get to go play because you did not do what I asked you to do. And so the reason why I tell you that story is because when we do things, we need to do things out of the goodness of our hearts and not out of something that is like, oh, it's the easiest thing to do and we move on. When we do things, we need to do things for the good of God. You know, God wants us to do the best we can in anything we do, whether it be at school, which I'll start school pretty soon, or at home, or even at a job that you may have, whether it be loading the dishwasher or unloading the dishwasher or doing the laundry or whatever that chore may do that you have to do, do it for the good of God and do it with a happy heart. That's what God wants us to do. Not to do something very short and move on our way so that we can go to the next event. All right? Rachel's going to pray for us today.
Father God, it's easy to not do our best when no one's looking. Help us to remember to do our best in everything we do, as if we're working for you. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Good morning. It's always great to be in God's house. Amen. I want to read a scripture first before we begin. Psalm 62, verses 5 through 7. My soul wait in silence for God only, for my hope is from him. He only is my rock and my salvation. On God my salvation and my glory rest. The rock of my strength, my refuge is in God.
want to remind everyone that there are prayer concerns listed on the back page of your bulletin, and ask that you remember these throughout the week. Lift those to the Father as you go in prayer. And now, will you pray with me? Loving Lord, we come into this sanctuary to give you praise for the love you give each one of us. We know, Father, that as day turns to night and into day again, you beckon to us to accept that the love you share so abundantly, we cannot even truly fathom. Forgive us, God, when we turn away from your love, when we reject it or ignore it, or don't seek it in each moment. For this love you pour upon us is truly transformative, and without a doubt can turn hearts of stone into hearts full of your peace and generosity. It can turn a thief's heart into a giving heart, a liar's heart into a truth-telling heart, a fearful heart into a hopeful heart, a murderous heart into a life-saving heart, a hateful heart into a prayerful heart. We gather together as one family under the name of Christ, given power and strength to love selflessly. We dedicate our lives to serve Christ, spread his love and will across our land, and serve our neighbors. And now we pray the prayer that our Lord taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. I want to encourage you to drop off bottled water at various cooling stations or centers around our city. If you're uncertain as to where these are located, you may bring your water to the church and someone will see to it that it is delivered for you. Let us pray. God, we give thanks for all of the grace you've poured into our lives, leading us to follow you and become dedicated disciples. May you impact every aspect of our lives, and may Christ be at the center of our passion. May we show it by our own sacrifice. Amen. And now would you join in the hymn of meditation, Now Thank We All Our God, which is number 102 in the hymnal.
Thank you. Amen. Please be seated. Thank you to Donna, and thank you to the Wilson and Next Phase Sunday School classes for their commitment to be our choir this morning. We thank you so much. And now we turn to our scripture passage, which comes to us from the Gospel according to Luke, chapter 18, verses 18 through 23. Hear these words as they are read aloud, and may they fall and rest upon our hearts and our minds in a fresh and new way. A certain ruler asked him, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good but God alone. You know the commandments. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not murder. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness. Honor your father and mother." He replied, "I have kept all these since my youth." When Jesus heard this, he said to him, "There is still one thing lacking. Sell all that you own and distribute the money to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me." But when he heard this, he became sad, for he was very rich. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us bow for a brief moment of prayer. Come, Holy Spirit, and speak to us. Your children are listening. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, we ask. Amen. He awoke that morning with sun streaming through the windows. He had just had an incredible night of sleep, resting in his silk sheets with that perfect pillow that's between soft and hard is just perfect for you. That's what it was for him. When he got out of bed, he walked into his luxurious bathroom and had an incredible hot shower. And after he had done that and cleaned himself up, he walked into his closet and he surveyed the room of what he might wear today. Oh, the finest of clothes. Nice shirts, nice ties, very nice shoes and belts. And after he had gotten himself dressed, he went down to have a full-fledged, wonderful breakfast cooked for him. And as he's reading the paper, he hears the news articles again about this radical man named Jesus. Now, you see, this man that's reading the paper, he's well educated. He's had the finest teachers. He's looked at various philosophies and teachings, and in fact, from a young boy, his parents instilled in him the great values he needed to live his everyday life, and he lived up to them. But this article in the newspaper about this Jesus who time and time again somehow outwits the religious authorities, heals, teaches, preaches, and cares for others. And he's finally convinced he has to meet him himself. So he goes off in search, and he finally arrives, and you know the story about how he does follow the commandments, and Jesus gives him one final test, one final way to secure eternal life. He must sell all that he has, give it to the poor, and come and follow him. And he's turned away, and he's sad because he's wealthy. Now, we don't know what happens after that story with this young man. We don't know what's he's grappling with, what is going on in his mind the day after, the week after, the month after, the year after. Perhaps a month down the line, it's been eating him away time and time again about what Jesus said. And maybe he does just finally just get rid of it all. Or maybe he's so overwhelmed by all that he has. As Jesus said those words, he was calculating in his head all of the money, all the possessions he would have to give away, and he knew in his heart he didn't have the power to do it. And maybe he gave himself permission to say, you know what, I can't do it. I'm just going to live my life the way I want to. When Jesus talks to this person, we hear this story. We know that in this time period, there was quite a large difference between those that were rich and those that were poor. But now what I want you to do, so I want you to think about how much that has changed to now. Think about that expansion between incredible mansions, right? A dozen rooms, elegant, and built unlike anything else. Cars, big vacations, all that. And then I think back to the first time it hit me in my heart. It made me feel guilty. And I just shared it last week in Sunday school in our young adult class about going across the Mexican border over to Rio Bravo to do a mission trip. I remember as soon as our van passed the security checkpoint, there was almost this sacred time, a different kind of sacred. We all kept very quiet, and we watched and observed everything around us. We saw people living in tin shacks and cardboard boxes, and this was just the first day. And as much of an impact as seeing that for myself made on me, the biggest impact at that time on my life was meeting the people that lived in it. The hospitality, the love, the sense of family, friendship, community, and play was so incredibly touching to me. I'll never forget this Mexican family preparing a meal for 20 plus volunteers, a meal they couldn't afford, buying Mexican Coca-Colas for us to share. Sacrifice. And when I went across back to the American border, I was embarrassed. I was heartbroken. But guess what? I didn't change anything. My passion for those people and helping with others was influenced, but I didn't change my lifestyle. I've never been in a situation where I was worried about being secure. What does sacrifice look like for you? You know, when we share that word sacrifice, many of us might all of a sudden feel very uncomfortable. Here goes the preacher talking about money again, talking about what we have. And it becomes a caricature, right? Pastor talks to congregation, and you can almost sense that everybody's real uncomfortable in the room. But this is important. It's vital to our discipleship. And there are ways in which we need to confront our understanding of sacrifice in our life. And the first thing we have to do is we have to confront it with honesty. Where are we in our life living with sacrifice? Where in the grand scheme of things does sacrifice play out in our life? Do we experience it? Because sacrifice is a choice, something we choose in dedication for God or someone else. I remember as soon as I shared with others growing up that I wanted to be a pastor, a lot of the conversations would go in, well, I guess you're not going to get a good amount of money. The idea that, you know, pastors and clergy, they're not out for wealth. There's not a large increase of income. It's really assumed as a path of self-sacrifice and time and energy and finances. But I'm here to tell you, that's bogus. What I have come to find out is that there is a lot of money given to pastors, more than I ever thought. And in my heart, we all want to think that we can handle the wealth, that the wealth won't corrupt us, that our possessions won't entangle us or rob us of a deeper connection with God. But I gotta tell you, we all know deep down in our hearts, more money, more problems, right? Now, that was kind of a joke. I mean, you've heard that phrase before. But what I mean by that is that the more possessions and the more money we have, the more complicated it becomes to keep ourselves focused upon God, because God is supposed to be the master, and we all know how difficult and how central money can become in our lives. So we have to approach this with honesty. Where we are in relationship with God and our feelings and thoughts about the sacrifice we're already doing. And then we have to confront sacrifice with scriptural meaning. So we all heard the passage just read earlier. Sell all you have, give it to the poor, and follow Jesus. Now, some of us are thinking, well, is that literal? And we are kind of scared. Some of us, well, no, it's more metaphorical, of course. And that can be kind of a way to get out of all that Jesus is asking. I think it's important to also lift up that just a chapter later is the story of Zacchaeus. And Zacchaeus was a wealthy tax collector, and when he met Jesus, he not only gave half of all that he owned to the poor, but he paid back all that he had cheated in his life four times the amount, signifying he gave all for Jesus. Scriptural meaning is going to come from your own study and research. We can have different approaches about God and money. The important principle that we need to focus on is that God is telling us that we need to have dependence upon God and not on our money. God is the one we go to. We all remember the season of Lent, and a part of Lent is thinking about a way in which we can sacrifice. Well, the lesson of Lent is not just supposed to be during the season of Lent. It's supposed to remind us that it's a lifestyle of understanding the nature of sacrifice in our relationship with Christ. So as you study the scriptures, you have to come to terms with what God is saying, and then you have to grapple it with the next way in which we confront sacrifice, and that is the discernment of our heart. Understanding what it is deep down as we pray and read our scriptures, what it is God wants us to do. When we hear this, the phrase, sell your possessions and give it to the poor, how are all the parents feeling about that in the room? What are we supposed to do with that? Your responsibility as parents is to make sure that they're brought up safe, secure, sound. And selling off your possessions and, I don't know what the next step Jesus thought was supposed to happen. But there are certain situations where it doesn't make sense, because your selling of that stuff is going to impact and hurt others potentially. So we have to discern in our heart where it is God is leading us and our specific discipleship. Perhaps as you think deeply, you realize you have a lot of things you don't need anymore. And maybe you finally bite the bullet and give it away. Bob Powers, a faithful member here, welcomes an international student into his home every year. Act of hospitality, using his resources to nurture and provide shelter and a loving environment for those young people, and to confront sacrifice, we have to have an intentional practice. It has to be a lifelong struggle that we understand. We have to understand it's a lifelong struggle with God and our money. I know that my cell phone has a lot of power over me. Does it to you? I'm sorry, that wasn't loud enough. Yeah. I am attached to my cell phone. I'm attached to my TV. I'm attached to my comfortable bed. I'm attached to my air-conditioned house. The least we can do is understand where we are in relationship to the rest of the world. And know in our hearts, so many live in incredible poverty. And not just in Mexico or other parts of the world, but right here in Arkansas. That's why we're so eager to help with those children who go hungry through 200,000 reasons. So, what are we to do? I want you to grapple with sacrifice in your life. I want you to figure out with you and Jesus some aspect in your life that you can give over to God. Maybe it's creating a new ministry through your resources. But God calls each of us to deeper levels of discipleship. And giving our time is wonderful. Giving our energy is great. Giving our abilities and our fruits that God has given us into the depths of our soul to use for others is fantastic. But Jesus thought it important to point out the grip that money and possessions have. So we have to give that to God. We have to allow God to work through us, to give to others, to learn sacrifice. After all, Jesus showed us an incredible example, giving his life, giving his everything. And as disciples of Christ, we too are to give our lives to God. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us be standing as we sing our closing hymn, Oh, How I Love Jesus. Hymn number 170. Let us be standing and sing. If there are those who'd like to come forward for a time of prayer, if there are those who'd like to come forward to reaffirm your faith and join the life of our church, we welcome you forward at this time. Jesus unlocks our love and abilities to serve the world. Embrace that love God gives you this day And may you use that love to share it with others. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.